Hi, and welcome to Math and Musings. I'm Mike O'Connell, creator of Math and Musings, and your host. Stay tuned for 15 minutes of science, politics, news, and opinion. In other words, Math and Musings. Today's date is Friday, October 22nd, 2021, and this is broadcast number 21 of our show. I thank you for tuning in today. Math and Musings for me has become not only something that I look forward to doing every week, but something I look forward to listening to every week. I really enjoy my trips into work on Friday, in which I get to listen to myself. And as I've mentioned many times before, I often find myself agreeing with me, the earlier incarnation of myself. It's sometimes quite a while between the times I record these things and the time they air, and I forget what I have said. This one, I sort of waited to the last minute on this one because I wanted to talk about a show that I saw just a few days ago. Speaking of traffic, it's always tough to get there, but so worth the effort. I've talked about this place before a couple times, I think Keystone Corner in Baltimore. It's the only place around, and I would say around, it's like over an hour and a half from my house. I mean, it should be probably about an hour 20, but there's always traffic. Only place like this around. There's like a real, legitimate, old-school jazz club, like it's, you know, maybe 1960 you're walking into the place. The beautiful part about it, though, is that it doesn't have to be, you know, 2 in the morning. They've got shows at, like, 7:30, like a normal time. And last Saturday, I got to see Monty Alexander. It was one of my heroes, playing the piano with his trio. And the guys he had with him playing bass and drums, your classic piano, bass, and drums, which I've been trying to do for the last 20 years. The guys he was playing with, they're tops in their field. Their names I heard at the time, and they went out of my head. That they're not names that necessarily you would recognize. However, you could tell that these guys knew what they were doing. And I don't know how long the three of them had played together. Monty seemed to be, you know, shouting out some instructions during the song, which made me think that, well, maybe they don't get together that often. However, they were so smooth. The whole show was really top notch. I mean, what else do you say? You're seeing somebody who's a legend. I would have guessed that Monty Alexander was in his 80s. I looked it up. He's only 77. Interestingly enough, his birth date is June 6th, 1944. And if that date doesn't do anything for you, I'll tell you, that's D-Day. Monty Alexander was born on D-Day in Jamaica, and he told a funny story that he said when he first came to the United States, I should say this, he grew up in Jamaica, and he was sort of a child prodigy. He was playing the piano when he was a kid and doing like Jamaican recordings in the 1950s, and then came here as a teenager with his family and was playing in Miami. The family moved to Miami, so I understand. And one night he catches the attention of two dudes who were hanging out in Miami. One of whom was performing, I guess, in Miami. And the dudes were Jilly Rizzo, who owned a bar in New York City, and his buddy that night, you may know him, he's Francis Albert Sinatra. And Sinatra and Jilly Rizzo see Monty Alexander, and I guess the story is that Jilly offered young, you know, 17 or 18 year old Monty Alexander a job playing at his bar, and well, he befriended Jilly and befriended Sinatra at that point. Jilly Rizzo, by the way, like everyone would claim to be friends with Frank Sinatra. This guy really was, like, he was Frank Sinatra's best friend for 30 years or more. And that's kind of how Monty got his start, being famous, right? He played in Jilly Rizzo's club, and then he started playing with everybody. And the last concert I saw at Keystone Corner, the same sort of thing. Like, I saw Ron Carter, and Ron is in his 80s and has played with everybody. I felt bad watching the show this time. The only thing that was a little bit disappointing for me about seeing legend Monty Alexander was that, which a show I saw myself, by the way, that's important to the story, that I thought it was even a little better than the Ron Carter show. And this one I was by myself. I had to admit to my wife, who had accompanied me to the Ron Carter show, and like, geez, you know, I think this one was even better. Now, I had the added benefit of being there by myself. I only needed one seat, obviously. They let me sit right up front because there was a group, I guess, had an odd number of people in their party. And I, you know, coyly mentioned that I wouldn't mind sitting up front if, you know, a waiter could find a seat for me near the stage. And I was sitting like a foot from the stage. I mean, I could practically reach out and touch the Steinway. Obviously, it was a great position from which to see the show. So Monty is 77 years old. He's been playing for, in the States for about 60 years. And he's got a wonderful mix of, like, jazz. Like, you'll hear jazz standards. You'll hear pop songs mixed in. A little bit like a Ramsey Lewis Jr., like, mixing in pop and, you know, straight eighth notes. And, of course, he's true to his Jamaican roots, which is, I guess, like, Latin-ish, like, bossa nova adjacent. It's not exactly reggae. Like, when you think Jamaica, you think reggae, but he crosses over into some reggae, too, and it's a beautiful mix of kind of like everything he's done over the past several decades. He's put out, I don't even know, it's dozens of albums he's recorded in his life, and kind of each one has a theme. Well, when you see his live show, it's kind of a mix of everything. I first encountered Monty Alexander, this is late 90s, I guess. I've probably mentioned this before, that I really became a huge Frank Sinatra fan right after he died, like, and unashamedly so. I say that after Sinatra died, this is May of 1998, May 14th, actually, same day as the final episode of Seinfeld, that his old record companies started putting out, unabashedly, again, use that word, his old recordings. And one was in a position to buy all old Frank Sinatra albums, because obviously his record company were trying to cash in on his death, selling all his old stuff. And I picked it all up then. I really became a huge Frank Sinatra fan right after he died. Like, everyone knows who Frank Sinatra is. There's no way that you could like music and not be at least somewhat familiar with Sinatra. But after he died and I started picking up all these old recordings, well, then I became the Sinatraphile I am now. And I came across the name Monty Alexander because he had done a number of Sinatra tunes, including a whole album called Echoes of Jilly's. And Jilly's was the name of the club where a young Monty Alexander played. And it was his trio, which included John Patitucci on bass and I think Troy Davis on drums. This is 25 years ago. I think this Sinatra tribute album came out in about 1996. I picked it up when it was a couple years old. And yeah, Sinatra songs done in like my style, like piano, bass, and drums, the thing I was kind of trying to do, and so many others have. Monty Alexander Trio, which I, you know, got to see 25 years later, and seeing it live. There's nothing like seeing it live. I also should say that one of my favorite Christmas albums of all time, this is Tony Bennett and the Count Basie Orchestra, and sitting in the Basie chair, I guess you could say, is Monty Alexander. This one is from 2008, A Swingin' Christmas, Tony Bennett and the Count Basie Orchestra and Monty Alexander playing the piano. And getting to hear some of these songs live was an unbelievable experience. It was interesting. I love going to this club anyway, Keystone Corner in Baltimore, who gives me no money to plug their club. I will for free anyway. I've mentioned before, the sole sponsor for this show is myself, via MikeOConnellJr.com. I usually mention the website as though the website is paying for the podcast. It's not. I fund all of it. Happy to do so. It gives me something to do in my spare time. If you want to check out the name Monty Alexander as well, feel free. I'll give him a plug too. He doesn't need it from me. But it's jazz for, I don't want to say jazz for the common man, or like jazz for somebody who doesn't necessarily like jazz. Like, the word jazz often scares people who, you know, only listen to top 40 radio and think jazz is weird. And I will admit that some of the things of what we call jazz, you know, it gets out there and it's a little strange. Like some of Miles Davis, even somebody like successfully commercial, like a Miles Davis, or you know, the work of Thelonious Monk or Ornette Coleman, like it gets a little weird. Monty Alexander is pretty commercial, and not in a bad way. It's similar to, I don't know how he feels about this comparison, but he's like, if Vince Guaraldi were still alive. Now, Vince died in the 70s, but by the way, Vince Guaraldi is the guy who did the music for Peanuts. It's got a little Charlie Brown feel to it, and it's like, it's accessible, and it's playful and fun. One of the more brilliant things I'd ever heard about Vince Guaraldi's playing, and I think it applies to Monty Alexander too, it, like the Peanuts comic strip, combines two things. One, an adult seriousness, and two, a childlike playfulness. That's the Peanuts comic strip, and Vince Guaraldi's playing, and I'd say Monty Alexander's playing too. It does both things at the same time. It's grown-up-y and serious, and also a childlike playfulness. Similar to, jazz influences into popular music like Peanuts, or well, Mr. Rogers used to do basically as well, like bringing like real jazz and an adult jazzness into a popular form, and one that children and non-jazz fans alike could enjoy. And most of the things you hear on TV, like the background music for Mr. Rogers or for Peanuts, you know, you only get little clips of it. Here I was getting to hear the whole Megillah, and every one of Monty Alexander's songs that he did live, like, it ends with flair. Right, every song's got a stinger on the end, and he stands up. The guy's probably only about 5'5", but he stands up, and it's like ta-da at the end of every one of his songs, with the exception of the encore. Like the encore, like faded out, and it was just like people were going nuts. That was the beautiful part about it. And I mentioned this before when I saw Kenny Garrett, which was a transformative experience for me seeing Kenny Garrett. The first time I saw him in Philadelphia, 15 years ago, it was a jazz concert with the intensity of a rock concert. Seeing Monty Alexander, it's a jazz concert with the fun and playfulness of a pop concert. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, it wasn't just sit and fold your hands in your lap and listen to jazz. And, you're not at the opera. You're having a good time. This is a party. And I appreciated every second of it. And it's one of these seminal experiences for me that's like, oh, this is what you want to do when you're playing a live show. And this has opened up a whole new avenue of music for me. I tried to incorporate elements of that I've taken from other people when I'm playing myself. And that's what I love about listening to live music. Listen to other people, take some ideas, make it your own. I guess that's true of life as well. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've enjoyed our show this week. You've been listening to Math and Musings. Math and Musings is hosted by me, Mike O'Connell. For more information or to contact, go to MikeO'Connell Jr.com.